We are joined by Assistant Commissioner General Michael Kostelnik of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. And he brought a beautiful airplane with him today, not personally himself, because it is an unmanned aerial vehicle. And I hear you know something about these unmanned aerial vehicles operating in the national airspace system.
Well, it's obviously a great topic for the pilot community we have gathered here at Oshkosh. And because when we had our display last year, we brought the four-foot model, and a lot of the pilots were looking at the four-foot model and thinking that that was what the Predator really was. So we talked with the EAA, and we talked with the FAA, and with a lot of support from a lot of people, we got permission to bring the UAV here. And this is the first time a UAV of this size has landed at a civilian airport. But it's important, I think, for the community to see what the aircraft is and is not. It's not, obviously, a four-foot wingspan. It's a 66-foot wingspan. It's 36 foot long. It's very sophisticated onboard equipment. And while it is an unmanned aircraft in a way, this aircraft, unlike larger aircraft like the Global Hawk and very much smaller aircraft like some of the military systems, which are programmed, are flown more like, you know, remote models. This aircraft is really flown by FAA-certified pilot agents. It's flown in a traditional way, virtually with about a one-second delay through the satellite infrastructure. But the characteristics of the aircraft and how it's flown and our mission set, I think, is a great opportunity for the flying public to get a better sense for the see and avoid issue, which, you know, it's been on the pages for some time. The DOD is aggressively moving into UAV use. There's a lot of push from a lot of sectors to fly UAVs in the national airspace. And I think the debate is an important one because there's a wide range in aircraft, everything from the model aircraft that we flew up with as kids to something like a Global Hawk and everything in between. And the risk associated with each of those systems flying in the national airspace is dramatically different. So I leave it to academia or to the DOD to make their case for why they should fly. In U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we have a real homeside mission to border security. Immigration, illegal immigration, narcotics, trafficking, and all kinds of illicit materials crossing our border. Clearly the world's still a very dangerous place going back to 9/11 and our creation. So we're using this system and have been operational in the national airspace for the last 4 years with this particular system, and we fly missions day in and day out. In fact, this aircraft has just returned from an operational deployment to upstate New York, where it flew the St. Lawrence Seaway for about a three-week test deployment period. And this aircraft, when it leaves Oshkosh, will return to North Dakota, where it'll be flying the northern border on active mission. So it's a great opportunity for the flying public to get a close, hands-on look with the pilots who fly them, look at the aircraft and the system itself and the controls and how we actually fly it, and make up their own mind about see and avoid.
Now, what is a typical mission for one of these UAVs? I mean, obviously they got takeoff and land, you know, at either end. What kind of facilities are they taking off and landing at? And then when they are flying, what altitudes are they flying at? And are they in restricted airspace, or what airspace are they flying in?
Well, that's a very good question, and all of those things are tied to the risk of flying in the national airspace, and we've been very careful and worked very closely with the FAA and the DO host at bases where we fly to reduce our risk. We typically fly out of operational bases. Currently, our southwest border operations is out of Fort Huachuca, an Army installation. Our northern base is the Grand Forks Air Force Base, a main Air Force operating base. We fly on IFR flight plans. We fly in the PCA. We have a mix. We typically take off in areas that are controlled, either the air traffic areas or if we're flying from a military installation like Fort Huachuca in restricted airspace. But we also fly in the national airspace proper on IFR flight plans. But they're very, you know, controlled and approved quarters on COAs with the FAA. And we do this to reduce our risk and risk to the, you know, the flying public. So when you look at the end game from takeoff, you know, to landing, we try to orchestrate our flight path so we can get our mission done. We're flying, I think, the most sophisticated UAV out there. We're flying late at night when there's not a lot of traffic. We're flying in remote areas along the border. And finally, we're flying to protect the country. I mean, it's a real-life mission we have and have had since 9-1-1. And if you look at those, the way we fly, I think, gives us a credible risk posture that is worth those risks that are taken.
What altitudes do you typically operate at when you're on a mission?
We fly just into the PCA. Typically, the missions are flown about 19,000 feet. The airplane can fly up to 50,000 feet. We could fly, VFR below that, but we're a surveillance platform primarily. So a very, planned, orchestrated, level, flight at around 19 or 20,000 feet is a perfect set for us, and that's an optimal distance for our FLIR and our EO optic system and our synthetic capture radar to work.
So most people, especially all the people we're talking to here who are operating their little airplanes, they're not even going to get anywhere near this when it is up and operating. The only time that they would possibly come to it would be during its climb and during its descent. But most of its mission at 19, 20,000 feet, there's nothing to worry about hitting.
Right. It really is. I mean, in the way we're flying with, certified, dual-qualified pilots flying these airplanes, when everything is working, there is no risk. When everything is working, it's just like any other airplane, although it's more capable because we bring multiple people virtually into it. Not only do we have a pilot, we have a systems operator, we have a fly team that sits behind these people and manages the mission set. The real credible issue and the discussion for the people here and what we've been involved in for some time with the FAA is what happens when something breaks or something doesn't work the way you think. And we've had some of these instances where you have brake lock momentarily and the airplane does something you didn't expect. Say you're flying in the National Airspace on an IFR flight plan, you're flying at 20,000 feet, but, you lose brake lock. Well, the airplane, it turns out, is programmed to slow down. It turns out in this particular aircraft, it's been programmed to slow down by climbing. Well, when it climbs unexpected and nobody knows about it, well, that would be a problem, kind of IFR. If you lose an engine or something breaks or just goes berserk, flies out on its own somehow, there's a lot of reasons why that won't happen or shouldn't happen, but, we can't limit all possibilities with a mechanical thing. What happens when you lose control and it falls out of the PCA? I mean, that's where, you can potentially have an issue. And, of course, fortunately, our mission is what? Late at night, on the border, in remote areas. And so when the worst that can happen happens, typically we're still in a good place.
All right. Well, that's been very informative, and it's a very neat aircraft. And if people want to come over and see that neat aircraft, where can we find you on the grounds?
Well, we're going to be over at the Federal Pavilion. We have not only the unmanned Predator B, but also the Cessna 550 and our A-STAR. Our agents, both the flyers, mission operators, and fly teams are in place there to share our experience. Look forward to seeing you.
All right. Well, we encourage everybody to come down and take a look. And you're listening to Wireless Mike on EAA Radio.